Welcome to the Futile Podcast tonight. Zach, it's Ian. And we are going to talk about sneakers from 1992. How was your 1992? Do you remember? Was it good?
Oh, let's see. 1992. Dodgers won in 88. Giants lost in 89. That was good. The Reds won in 1990. Blue Jays win. The Blue Jays won in 91. No. The Twins beat the Braves in 91. No, the Twins beat the Braves in 93.
Right.
So the Blue Jays might have beat the Phillies in 92.
So that will determine your entire year.
Let me see.
Anyway, 92. I remember it feeling like it was kind of a shit year. I think we were still in a bit of a recession. It was the end of Bush 1's term, the beginning of Clinton. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
The Blue Jays won in 1992.
Oh, and the Canadians were so happy that they beat us at our own pastime.
It was an okay year.
Okay.
The Canadians, come on. There's no Canadians who care.
The Toronto Blue Jays.
All the fans are Americans.
Right, they showed one picture of one guy that was a Canadian saying that. I think just to enrage Americans. You know the way the media is. It's about controlling the information. What people think, what people consume, how they work. Good line from Sir Ben Kingsley. Was he a sir at this point, pre-sneakers? Or did sneakers come out and then he was immediately knighted by the Queen?
The Queen didn't care about sneakers.
Are you kidding? I'll bet the Queen is...
I don't know. Why do you care about sneakers? You've been pushing me to watch sneakers forever. I own like 7 movies on DVD... And one of them is sneakers for some reason. Like my dad gave it to me years ago or something.
Right.
Like, it's not, it's okay. Like, I don't, like.
It's great.
It's not great. It's okay.
It's great. It's in my top 50 movies of all time. Easy.
Easy. I don't understand.
4.5 out of 5. I'll just lead with that right now. And I enjoyed it even more this time.
It's a 3 out of 5.
No. Yeah. No. The things you have in it are just like this.
It's okay.
There's
nothing actually intelligent about the cons and this and the
not particularly, but it doesn't things. Need to be.
Most of it is contrivance.
But it's made in a time in a way where it's not playing on irony. It's a little whimsical. It's a little nostalgic. It's a simpler kind of spy movie, you know, for a simpler kind of pre-9/11, pre bipartisan gridlock or whatever else kind of mentality. You know, you could have fun at the cost of the Republicans and it wasn't going to, you know, create a freaking riot. And you could shoot in San Francisco and show locations. And you could assemble kind of an interesting cast, which includes Dan Aykroyd, Sidney Poitier, Robert Redford, Mary McDonald, who you love. Right?
I don't like her. She has an attitude problem. Just the look on her face.
Did I say Dan Aykroyd already?
You said Dan Aykroyd 4 times.
Four times already?
You've mentioned 5 names and 4 of them were Dan
Aykroyd. River Phoenix, the late River Phoenix, is in this as well. And David Strathairn, the Oscar-nominated David Strathairn. And Sir Ben Kingsley. And then you got Busfield from 30-something, your favorite show when you were a kid in the 90s. Branford Marsalis, you know, contributed to the score, gave it some nice little lilting sax bits that kind of give it a nice bittersweet quality. It's very well made. It looks good, and every scene has like an element of fun to it, and kind of a richness in the visuals that I just enjoy.
Directed by the Field of Dreams guy.
Right. Not some auteur by any stretch of the imagination, but a guy that really knows how to make movies, I think. You know, just a real competent craftsman of movie making.
You wouldn't say that if he hadn't made sneakers.
You're just, right. You're basing
that all just off of your love of sneakers.
Well, you can't say that Field of Dreams isn't considered a classic either.
Yeah, but...
That's two.
But it's schmaltzy.
So what? It was effective at its time and with its mentality. Schmaltz is now judged that way because we're this post-irony culture where everyone is so afraid and so scared. They've got to lead with how much better they are and smarter they are. It's like, oh, no.
No one's ever liked Schmaltz.
I get it. Or people love that movie. People like that movie. But it was popular.
But the word Schmaltz has always meant the same thing.
Right, sure, it has. But it hasn't been used to describe that movie till recently. You know? No. The words stay the same, but the, you know, they're used to qualify different things at different points in the culture. You got Tobolowsky also in Sneakers?
Tobolowsky.
Yeah. There's no R in it.
Yeah.
It's not Toblerowski. It's Toblerowski. I don't know. Toblerone. The plot is simple, but seems a little complicated in the way that a good spy movie kind of should. And it's coherent. It makes sense. Most of the behaviors are rational. There's a few moments, as there are in any sort of action adventure story, where, you know, things are convenient and contrived, sure, but I mean, movies are filled with that kind of stuff. It happens. It's got its screenwriter elements, but at the same time it kind of veers from some of that to a degree. I mean, in terms of the way the act break down and the pacing of the movie is structured, it's not particularly normal. It just kind of there's a few points where things breathe, but it moves at a good momentum. And it's just an enjoyable movie on a Friday evening in the winter. You know, you just get warm and you just...
Why does what day and what season it is have anything to do with it?
It totally does. It does for everybody.
No, it never
it
does.
Totally it totally does. People have certain...
You can watch it on a Tuesday morning at 10:43.
People have certain moods at certain times.
No, they don't.
In general.
No.
So you're saying someone with a cold, because they're staying home from work on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. is going to enjoy it as much as someone who like had a good week of work, and now they're home, and they're going to have a few days to relax.
Yes.
Are you saying someone who's unemployed on a Tuesday and half suicidal is going to enjoy it just as much?
Yep.
Right. Okay. I'm not so sure I agree. I think that people's mentality goes into...
Look, it's not a life-affirming film. So,
it's not overly cynical.
It's not going to keep a suicidal person from killing themselves, like...
Like Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful.
Well, right, exactly. Sure.
So,
sure,
therefore, it's a lesser film than Life is Beautiful.
Of course, it didn't win any Oscars or get anybody any nominations. But it's...
Nor should it have. It's a 3 out of 5.
No, it's fun. Do you think Oscar movies are rarely that big or that good?
Are you kidding? Have you seen Shakespeare in Love?
Oh my! I like how you pointed that one just as the counter argument, right? It's like they're like, it's got Shakespeare in the title. It deserves an Oscar, right? I guess, why not?
It's a pretty run of the mill movie.
It's pretty mediocre.
It's just a romantic comedy.
It's not very good.
That's all it was.
Yeah. But Sneakers is great. Sneakers is fun. I enjoy it a lot. I cannot divorce myself from the nostalgia of seeing it in the 90s. I cannot divorce myself from the sort of 90s mentality that goes into the whole production of it. And a simpler time, a peaceful time. It's like I was saying to you earlier. Right now, I think of all my friends, and as far as I can think, most of the people I really care about in life are kind of doing okay. And I know that's not going to last. I know it never does, but it's nice to just appreciate that. And sure, in 92, nothing was perfect. Things were awful in certain ways, and people were struggling. But I don't know. I was 11 years old. 11's kind of the perfect age to be, and that's when I was in 92. The country was, for the most part, at peace. I mean, I think this was after the Gulf War. Maybe it was...
Barely.
Barely, but that was barely anything anyway. I mean, the whole thing, you know, the world for, you know, an American 11-year-old boy wasn't so bad, even though, you know, it seemed that way, maybe, because life just is always kind of tough when you're a kid. But being 11, you know, it's prepubescent. You're not overran with the hormones. So you're just able to kind of take a break and just kind of like be smart enough to understand things, but not using overwhelmed.
Sneakers as a movie to point at some sort of idyllic time.
It just for me is that way, and so I could say I would not thoroughly argue year 3 out of 5, but for me it is a high rating. And watching it again, like I said, trying to be real nitpicky about it, kind of feel like I was force feeding it a little, being like, let's just put it on, let's just watch it. It's a good night to watch it. Why not? And kind of be like, I don't know if I even really feel like watching it. But then, you know, once it gets going, and it's fun, and it's enjoyable. And I guess there's not a lot else to say. I mean, it's a spy movie, but it's PG-13, it's straightforward, it's more of a comedy than anything else, with a little bit of action. And, you know, it's got a few moments of sort of cynical, you know, this is the way the world is kind of stuff. And it's kind of, you know, that's valid, but commentary that's very prescient now about the NSA listening in on Americans and things like that. And I think what I liked a lot too is the friendship between Martin and Kaz. You know, they haven't seen each other for so long, then they see each other again and they're able to kind of just reconnect very quickly and have their conversation and their, you know, back and forth. And, you know, even though they've grown really far apart, the ending is no big blockbuster ending. It's just kind of simple. It's a little tragic and kind of sad, but also kind of real too, I guess. I don't know. The way that friends can be, and what one is like, you know, very into this cause, but also has made a lot of compromises in his life and has become a very, gotten into the darker side of the gray area of morality, and the other one's just kind of stayed kind of aloof. I don't know. It's just a fun movie. I like it. Look at you over there, smug and smirking.
Just the epitome of
George Clooney look. Just the epitome of you're like, I am so much better than this movie. So I
it's just it's just always been like a really
like, we went through 9/11. It's always been like a
really mediocre movie of me, and I just don't understand. Like, you've always been like, oh, we should podcast about sneakers, and I'm like, oh, really?
Sneakers? I enjoy it. I mean, we could do. You know, we could talk about more Billy Ray Cyrus movies if you'd rather do that.
Well, those are important, though.
Right, yeah.
Those are about something in, like, a time, a place, an epoch.
Yes, right, exactly. They're epoch relevant.
Yeah. They're epoch relevant. Epoch Shakur.
Indeed. Okay, well, enough about that. Clearly you don't have the nostalgia that I have for it, and that
is it just because of nostalgia?
That's a huge thing. It's weird, but it's one of the I remember when and it was a Friday. This is probably when this all started. This is the trace of my pathology about things back to this. When I was a kid, I was 11, so I don't know what grade that even is. You wouldn't know, you were homeschooled, right? So 11 is
sixth.
Is it like sixth grade?
Probably.
Who gives a shit? It's not important. But you know, so you get home from school on a Friday, and my mom's gone. She's gone to do something with some of her friends for the night, she's gonna be gone for a day or so. So it's just she got this movie for dad to watch with me and Seth after dinner, just as something to do. And the three of us we just chilled out and we just watched it, and it was pleasant enough. I guess maybe because it was a good movie. And I like I said, I'm watching it now, I like it more each time I've seen it. It's not like Krull or something where I start to like it less.
It's not an unpleasant movie. It's not like, it's not ever like a bad movie.
But for my mind, the nostalgia of it is that it'll always be tied to a winter Friday night, like in the middle of like when school starts to get kind of tough and, you know, you're burned out, but you get a little break from it. And just kind of hanging out with my brother and my dad and watching this movie. And I have, like, that one time, and that's it, with that set of circumstances. You know? And maybe the Hobbit cartoon was the other one. I mean, and then the other two that are nostalgic with my family is probably Die Hard and Thunderdome. I saw those both.
Listen, what family doesn't have the three cornerstones of the
Thunderdome and
Die Hard, Thunderdome and sneakers.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
I think this is a universal thing.
It's a strange family. What do you want me to say? But we're very normal, like you said. I can't tell what's again behind the Clooney like veneer of smugness. It's hard to tell whether you're being serious or not. Do you want to make comments now about how progressive Hollywood has been for years about things and smug clouds?
We did like pointing out
multiple
points that all the people, all your heroes, all your sneaker company heroes,
right,
are anti-Republican.
Well, of course, the whole movie is that
Republican National Convention.
Yeah, they take the money away.
Pro, your greatest enemy, the United Negro College Fund.
I like that. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I don't know what's the time. I'm like, it's just it's okay.
Yeah, I hear you. You don't have the same like brainwashed that I have. It's fine, but I do like. I think I just like. It's got a handful of great scenes, and the characters are fun. It's fine. Even you, dude, you will not admit this on the podcast, but at the end with James Earl Jones, and then when they got to the part with Tahiti, you even said it out loud. You're like, Tahiti.
I said all the lines out loud because I've seen the movie like four times.
No, but you were loving it.
It's
I looked at you, and you had an open mouth smile.
I've also
Very un-Clooney-like.
I've also seen like, I've seen a ton of movies like 70 times.
Right.
And I can tell you the lines.
Right.
You were cracking up. You don't even know what I was doing. You were laughing at James Earl Jones' exasperation.
James Earl Jones also comes in just at the end to back cleanup. It's like when Sean Connery came in as Richard the Lionheart in Prince.
If you're coming in at the end of something, you're not batting cleanup. I'd like to clear up that distinction.
Okay, let's clean up the distinction.
Okay. If you're coming in at the end of something, it means you're filling a lineup spot that needs to be filled, meaning you're pinch hitting. Cleanup is just the fourth spot.
Okay.
Cleanup is fourth. So you load your bases,
mm-hmm,
then the cleanup hitter comes up. That's great.
Right.
But that's like, that's not analogous to this. This was like, you get to the very end, and like you just want someone to knock it home.
Mm-hmm.
The pinch hitter. Because maybe the pitcher spot was up. Bottom of the,
Right.
The ninth spot in the lineup, the National League at least, is the pitcher spot.
Right.
Bring in a pinch hitter. Problem with that is you have to get a new pitcher.
Yeah.
Which isn't a problem if it's late in the game, because the pitcher
is burned out
before is probably tired.
That makes sense. That's sound baseball logic. We started with sound baseball logic, we end with sound baseball logic. Okay. You give it a 3 out of 5, I give it a 4.5. Totally brainwashed nostalgia. I loved it more this fifth time I've seen it or whatever. I'll watch it again in 3 or 4 years, maybe with people, hopefully with some people, and it'll be enjoyable.
Sneakers is a movie full of people from the golden years.
Yeah.
Like they're in their golden years.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, man. Sorry to keep going back to sneakers. I know you tried to nip that.
I can end that one
in a nice little, like, 15-minute long podcast, an inconsequential podcast about sneakers, but...
You really want to delve in? I delved in. I shared for myself. Most private stuff I've ever shared in a podcast, probably. The most personal...
Yeah, that was the most private you've ever been on a podcast.
I don't think our listeners want to listen to our yammering about our private lives. That's not interesting.
Well, I don't know if they probably don't want to listen about yours, for sure.
That's not... No, definitely not mine. Yours, though.
Oh, yeah. So my life is interesting.
Crushing randos left and right.
My life is interesting. My tastes are important.
Of course.
My opinions are of paramount importance.
Well, this is an objective.
This is the A-team stuff people have come to expect.
Exactly.
This is what people want. This is what they need.
Right.
They don't want the crap with you and your brother.
Simpering.
They don't want the nonsense with you and just the hobos you picked up off the street for all the other podcast.
What about the powerhouse? When I get the powerhouse together,
I don't even know what that means. All I know is a few times you tricked me into coming over here, and there were just a bunch of like homeless people in here, just sitting here watching movies. And then I have to like pretend like I know them and stuff like that. Oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I remember you. And then we watch whatever. And then afterwards, I say a bunch of stuff, and everyone laughs, and then I go home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I paid them in clean urine. But that reminds me, you mentioned the A-team. And back to sneakers.
Do you think any of the hobos will listen to this and then be offended? Well, if I offend the Z team or whatever you have, you can do
Team Zeta?
Team Zeta.
I got t-shirts made. I don't think anybody that we know listens to the podcast.
Much less the people who are in it.
Who knows, man? You never know. It's out there on the web. I mean, somebody could listen to it years from now.
I hope I didn't offend anyone. You know, there's a Google is setting up a thing. I'm not sure how...
they're going to just own everything on the internet?
How sexist you've been on Twitter. But they're adding parameters on Google so that you can just type in anyone's...
Name,
and it will come up with basically everything they've ever tweeted. Everything.
Why is that Google thing?
Google's decided it's an important thing. So they're going to do that, and basically then your employers or whoever can just go through and just see what sexist things you've ever said, and then decide, you know what, we're not going to give them that promotion. We're not going to give me in that promotion to head misogynist because he hated women too much.
Right. So, we're going to become a culture of extreme hypocrites before we become just a very open, transparent culture where everyone's just like, people had a bad... It looks like Bob had a bad day and wrote something kind of gross. Oh, well. He thought it was funny, but it wasn't to us. Whatever. I guess, you know, not everyone has the same sense of humor. I mean, how's it going to go? How does this end? No, but how does this end? What's the upshot? Tell me the upshot.
How it ends is... We have a perfect...
Respectful society?
Completely respectful, totalitarian...
Matriarchy?
Police state.
Would you want to call it a matriarchy,
but
Zach?
But the police...
Zach, would you call it a matriarchy?
No, I wouldn't. But the police are the most policed of all. That's what we're looking for.
Who watches the Watchmen?
We want a completely totalitarian society where... You can't offend anyone ever.
Right.
You can't shoot and kill anyone ever.
Right.
But yet, if you do anything, you get in trouble for it. And if you do any of those things, you get in huge trouble for it.
Right.
Offending, shooting, killing. So you just take away all the guns.
And listen to NPR.
Yeah, you don't have to be so liberal all the time, man. NPR is totally right-wing at this point. It's just too...
Well, they got all that McDonald's money, so they gotta be, right? Mm-hmm.
What's the real hot new liberal thing to do? Listen on the radio.
To listen to on the radio? Yeah. I don't know. I don't care about what is or isn't hot. I'm actually...
You just care about what is or isn't on the right or the left. That's what you care about.
When things are, you know, offensively offended, then it's time to ask what's the upshot and then dismiss appropriately.
Here's all I know. There are a few amendments we need to get rid of.
The Constitution.
Yes. The first and the second.
Okay. I hear you.
Get rid of them completely.
So measured speech and no firearms.
Well, we could go back. Let's just get the correct interpretation of the second, which is regulated militia. Regulated by the government.
Right.
Regulated by the government militia.
Okay.
We already have that. It's called the United States Army.
Armed Forces.
National Guard. Marines.
The police.
You know, the police, they already have too many weapons. We're militarizing them too much as it is.
Right.
You hear how I said that? Militarizing.
Yeah. Yeah, you did good.
I need another beer.
You want another beer?
I do.
I'll come and get one too. This is good. We're breaking new ground here.
No, we're not. I'm handsome as shit. Just because I don't have much hair.
It doesn't matter. Today's mentality is
irritable bowel syndrome.
Everyone's got irritable bowel syndrome. Everyone has irritable bowel syndrome.
I got what is rickets? I got lupus.
You got shingles?
Not yet.
So right. So the great heist ensemble team of sneakers is like the A team of something. You'd be the face man, we decided?
The face man, for sure. I'd be smoozing all the ladies. You know, I'd be, remember the Italian Job?
Right.
Okay.
With what was his name?
Handsome Rob.
Handsome Rob.
I'm Handsome Rob.
Oh, I'm Handsome Rob. How you doing?
Yeah.
Why don't you come get in my car?
Yeah. Are you pregnant, girl? No? would you like to be? That's my line.
That's your Jason Statham
you,
line?
Yeah, I think you are Napster. That's what Seth Green wanted his character to be called.
Oh my god.
And they're like, no, you can't be called that. He's like, but I invented Napster, and that guy stole it from me, so I want to be called Napster. Like,
I think I would be, what's his name?
You'd be Most Def?
Possibly, no, I'd be,
You'd be Donald Sutherland, who was killed by Edward Norton.
Yeah, or I'd be Edward Norton.
Played by your brother.
Yeah, Edward Norton. Ouch. Italian Job was lame.
Yeah, they've been making a sequel for that for years.
Who cares? Were they just waiting for the new Mini Cooper to come out? I mean, Jesus, what's the hold? This one can fly. It's Aqueous.
Aqueous, the Aqueous Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Like lame. It. No fun there.
I was trying to goad you into going on a Republican rampage, and you didn't.
About the Twitter thing?
No, not about like police states and getting rid of amendments.
Well, because it's just, you know, it's like...
It's going to happen.
What? No one's going to start getting rid of any more amendments.
Oh, yeah. Social justice warriors are beginning to rule all of social media.
Okay.
And Twitter is becoming so huge. Facebook's becoming so huge. And the things that you can and can't say on them are having real-world repercussions. Like jobs.
Right, okay.
Political candidacies.
Right.
Everything.
Sure.
And the things that are being said are no different than things that have ever been said.
Yeah.
And we used to see that, like, you know, a sports player or an actor or somebody did something years ago, and we're like, well, they did that a long time ago. Like, you know, they've learned. We forgive them. As if they're a public character.
Or they're drunk. They made a mistake. They were an idiot.
And now there's no forgiving. There's the public yearning for immediate repercussions, meaning...
And the fact that if it's like on tape, you can just show it again and show it again. I mean, you can go to YouTube and find Hasselhoff drunk eating that hamburger anytime you want, right?
Yeah, but there's no problem with that.
Right.
We've all been drunk eating a hamburger.
With a shirt off on the floor.
Yeah. That's how I eat.
That's a good way to eat. That's smart, too, because you don't ruin your shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, and floors are easy to clean.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Ian?
I would do it in a bathroom floor. In the bathtub. You would. So if I had some irritable bowel at the time, I'd be good to go.
And at the end of the whole thing, you reach straight over for the shotgun and a little mouthwash.
Yeah.
Just end it all right
it's
there.
It's courteous because it's easy to clean.
That's where you want to do it.
Exactly. So the social media thing. See, I mean, I get what you're saying, and you're right. There is a sort of paranoia fear. I never read that comic, that net only comic that Vaughn did, Private Eye or whatever, where it was all about kind of about that. I feel like that's a good subject for people to get into. I've read a few things people wrote. One of the Answer Man columns, of all things, on the Anime News Network. I think it was a guy's name. I think his name is Justin Servakis or something. It got into a whole thing similar to that, where people were kind of rallying against a voice actor because of some things they think he said that may have been homophobic, and I don't know anything about it. And the Answer Man, he really did get it exactly what you mean, the dangers of, like, we're giving up a certain element of the ability to have freedom of thought and actual dialogue and discourse. And that's a huge thing.
My issue is this.
Okay, we're back to your issue. Good. Your issue is the social media.
The real issue is
infringement on speech.
The health of any society can be measured by a thermometer. The thermometer is, where on the spectrum are they with freedom of speech?
Sure.
That's it. Because everything else falls under the blanket of being able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
In an open forum, publicly, privately, whatever.
Right.
Which covers being offensive, which covers whatever. You have a right to be offended, just as I have the right to offend.
Exactly. And that's how you work out ideas, too.
Or, I have the right to be offended, just as you have the right to offend. See what I did there? I switched it.
Yes,
it wasn't just me offending people. Because, like, in our case, like, out of the two of us, you know, say people are listening to this and they're going to get offended by something.
Oh, definitely.
99.9% of the time, they're going to be offended by what you say.
Right.
So, if by that rubric, how healthy do you think this society is? Is it getting more healthy or less healthy based on just where the temperature is on freedom of speech?
If you use the analogy of health and then do what I like to do, which is related to then to consumption, then it becomes...
Hang on a second. Don't complicate my already
complicated thing. I'm not complicating it. I'm
by
just,
making it more complicated.
I'm just piling another metaphor on there. Now, it's like this. It's like, so there's more media, but the media is more junk than it's ever been. And so people are free to yammer, but if you have enough sort of dumb people yammering about dumb stuff, it drowns out anything that's not dumb, and then you can start straw-manning people that aren't necessarily dumb saying something that might seem disagreeable or offensive. Whether it's just for the purposes of the argument, to play devil's advocate, or to actually try to arrive at a solution to a question. I mean, you have to ask potentially offensive questions in order to do the science of the experimentation of society. You have to actually say these things and figure these things out. And the problem is, ultimately, people want to be able to be identified as being on the good guy, feel good team, and then they want to be able to say other people are evil assholes. Things have not improved because of that. I think, ultimately, there is a problem with people having a lack in a sense of humor, but there's also a legitimacy to the progress of society, too. And a lot of these, feminist pushes and nudges aren't necessarily bad things. I think it just seems unfortunate that it becomes kind of a pandery tokenism more often than not.
The thing that's going on right now is anything you ever say on Twitter, once you become someone, and even before, once you become someone, they look at what came before. And there are people... So I read this thing in the New York Times, and it was an op-ed piece written by someone who writes books. And it was about...
You mean a novelist?
Person writes nonfiction books.
Okay. Like a Malcolm Gladwell type?
Something like that. Okay. But it wasn't. It was someone else. And the article they wrote in the New York Times a couple weeks ago was about people's lives being ruined by something they said in 140 characters. And the first example started out with this lady who was traveling through Africa, and she was a PR for some mental health organization that dealt with developmentally disabled children, something like that.
Okay.
So she's on vacation. She's traveling through Africa, and at each airport she stopped at, she had like a kind of funny, snarky tweet about something. Something about like the Frenchman sitting next to her on the plane who smelled bad, needed some deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
Something about English people with bad teeth.
Yeah, right.
And then she gets to Africa and she says something about, I better not leave the airport or else I might get AIDS. Oh, wait, I'm white. I won't get AIDS. So she gets off the plane and she turns on her phone and it's blown up. And people are like, are you okay? Are you, like, don't kill yourself. Like, what's, calm down. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? And they blew up because all these social justice warriors found her tweet. And they were all employed social justice warriors who worked for, like, think tanks and other journalistic things and people who, like, knew who she was for whatever reason and had followed her or found her through something,
right,
was retweeted.
So is this social warrior justice thing?
SJW.
Social justice warriors. Is this essentially the quote-unquote PC police that people have been saying don't
PC
exist
police.
For all these years?
PC police.
Okay.
And
well,
so
just to be clear, they actually exist, apparently.
They
right?
do now.
Okay.
And they...
Good to know.
They are taking... And anyway, so the point of this op-ed piece, as it got down further, like he pointed out a few instances, and it was things where they were things that the people shouldn't have said, especially if you are holding a public... Like, if you have an important position with a company, many companies, and most, actually, if you read the fine line in contracts, have some sort of behavioral clause in them meaning if you do something crazy outside of work, we have the right to let you go.
Because sure.
Not even crazy at some point. Something that doesn't espouse our standards.
The company line.
Are they paying you? You signed the contract.
Right.
Are they paying you? So that's fine. But the point is, so he shows all these instances, and this lady and did end up getting, like, so all these social justice warriors are like, oh man, this is going to be so awesome when she gets fired. She's not going to have her job on Monday. This is great. Because no one should ever say something like that, continue to work at a position for the thing she works at. Yay, hooray. And so she does get fired.
She doesn't play the satire card to point out the greater misdeeds.
No, and it turns out that's what she was doing.
Well,
she was actually making fun of white privilege.
Oh, sure.
But it's irrelevant. She said something that was, it doesn't matter if it was misconstrued or whatever, she said it. So she ended up back on her feet eventually, but like, so this person interviewed her, interviewed the first person who found the tweet and retweeted it, and talked to this guy, and this guy seemed the most clueless. He was some journalist from somewhere, and he was like, yeah, I felt really cool about it. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was great. Like, I had my moment, and this was, I found a person doing bad, you know, and I did this, and then, like, the person, the op-ed person was like, you know, you feel bad that you, like, ruined this person's life. And he's like, I mean, kind of, yeah. No, you're right, I guess. And then, ironically, that person was fired from his job, like, a couple months later for something dumb he tweeted. It's just all this cycle of stuff. And at the end, it was like, the point of the whole thing was like, the only thing we're really learning here is that there's now a group of people who are, it's like a fame thing. I found this person, and I got them fired.
The PC police are trying to make their bones.
Don't start trying to bring... PC police, dude, that's a term from like 1990...
How apt is it yet
now?
I don't
want to say two, because you're going to start bringing up sneakers again. But
right, because the online dating, that was so, and the karaoke. The more things change, the more they progress, right? We all knew where everything was going. We've known it for a long time.
I don't even like talking to you about stuff.
The Twitter thing is funny, though, because it did bite the hand that fed them, fed the social warrior people, maybe, kind of, sort of, but I think not so much, actually, when Colbert got in trouble for it. Remember when that happened? And they had to make the whole point of, oh my god, who would have thought there'd be confusion in something that's only limited to 140 characters? So maybe that sobered a lot of people up on it. That one thing, when some intern, and I mean some intern got thrown under the bus for it anyway, made some, you know, it was one of those kind of, you know, privileged, backhanded, racist, social commentary, satire job things, and then had to step back from it and blah blah blah, and then ultimately just kind of make the point. Yeah, Twitter is not necessarily all that great. It's just a place for people to go and be human and complain about shit. And most of the time it's inane. That's all it goes. I mean, if society's going to get that hypocritical, didn't we already have this whole thing back in the Clinton administration? Post-sneakers? With the Lewinsky? And then, like, who is that guy, that Republican that was...
Post-sneakers. You know what? Don't try to put... Don't try to make that
the
some
epoch,
sort of benchmark.
The epoch
post-sneakers.
Yes. When the guy that replaced Gingrich or whatever, because Gingrich had an affair, and then it turned out that guy had an affair. It was like they were going after Clinton for some sex thing. It was like, yeah, it's just, you know, the hypocrisy abounds. What's the upshot? The upshot is we're going to learn something we already know. We're not going to learn anything.
There's no upshot. Everything the liberals espouse is good. It's good and it's right. And they're just jackasses and morons who don't understand that you can't do it. And everyone on the right is like a hateful Emperor Palpatine, like, bottom line. Yes, everything is completely broken, but if we do this, it's going to break even more. So let's just keep it just as broken as it is. It's just both really, really bad and wrong. But there's no fixing it. There's no fixing it. It's going to have to all completely collapse.
Okay.
And it will.
So you're the optimistic anarchist to that. With the two kids.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It'll all fall to pieces.
So you know
millions will die.
When are you going to teach them how to use bows and arrows?
My neighbors...
Because when the gunpowder disappears after the collapse...
My neighbors cut a gate in between their two fences. The Coast Guard guy and the firefighter guy. So that they can practice shooting the compound bow they got. So I'm going to have my kids go over there and learn.
There you go.
It's not a teeter-totter. It's actually a circle.
Okay.
And it's like this. But if it goes like this, everyone's screwed. But it's going to turn in either this direction or this direction. And both ends lead to totalitarianism.
Right.
And... It's once it gets there,
it'll be like equilibrium, is what you're saying.
Yes,
gun kata.
Exactly.
Lousy with gun kata.
Start practicing your gun kata right now.
Okay.
You know, start using scientific theorems to figure out where exactly somebody will be when you spin and fire your gun.
Right.
Because it's going to happen. We didn't solve any problems.
We never do. It's called futile for a reason.
Talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.